Last week marked 100 years since Einstein's theory of general relativity was first announced. This proposed that gravity occurs because massive objects like stars and planets deform the fabric of space, something called space-time, and this deformation draws bodies together and explains why Newton's apple fell on his head. One of the other predictions of Einstein's theory, though, is that gravity should ripple through the fabric of space at the speed of light, producing gravitational waves. And this week, the European Space Agency launched the first phase of a mission called ELISA, in which ultimately several spacecraft out in deep space will bounce a light beam between themselves to spot any gravitational waves that come through. Glasgow University's Harry Ward is one of the mission scientists.
Gravitational waves are a byproduct of Einstein's theory almost exactly 100 years ago, when he explained that gravity is not a magical force, it's a manifestation that matter curves space-time, and the curvature can change, and the changes can propagate away from a source, and that's what we call gravitational waves, and we want to detect those because it will provide a new window in the universe, a new way of looking at astronomical events. And the way the gravity waves affect you or me or anything is that they stretch and squeeze us by fortunately an infinitesimal amount, but nonetheless an amount that we hope will be detectable. And the way we plan to do it is to measure between separated items, typically mirrors, because we're using laser light to do it, and we monitor their separation, looking for tiny, tiny changes.
Bouncing between the mirrors is what? A beam of light?
A beam of laser light,
and you're able to detect, obviously, if a gravity wave comes through and it squeezes the space a little bit or stretches the space a little bit, then the light will take a bit longer or a bit less time to go between the two, and therefore its colour, its wavelength is going to change very subtly.
That's right, provided you've got some reference against which to make that measurement. And so in all of the experiments that have been envisaged to date, we typically do that by having two arms, two paths along which we make measurements, and we orient them at right angles to each other, because it turns out that the gravity wave affects two things at right angles to each other. And so the two arms give us a natural way in which we compare one arm with the other arm.
Now, this is the longer term project, isn't it? Your initial work is going to inform how that happens. So what are you actually putting into space now, and what's that going to do?
The longer term project is a thing called ELISA, which would have three spacecraft forming these two arms, or maybe even three arms if we complete the triangle. But the challenge is in the technology. I mean, it's a daring thing to try to do. And so it's a proof of principle. It's designed to allay risk and to demonstrate to all of us that we have the technology under control.
I sound like an online sales rep when I ask, well, what's in the box then?
Essentially, two reflecting masses which float completely freely. They look beautiful, actually. They're gold platinum cubes. And these, in principle, float freely within a spacecraft, and the laser beams propagate to and from these proof masses and make the measurement.
Will the test device, Pathfinder device, actually have the capacity to do science, or will it just prove that you can stably mount this system in space?
Its prime target is technology demonstration. It's not science. It was never sold as being a science mission. And remember, it's not just a technology demonstrator for something like ELISA. There's a growing interest in making these kind of sensitive measurements of interaction of gravitational fields with masses much more locally. I mean, we have missions that do climate research by monitoring the gravity perturbations of the Earth. And so the technology that's demonstrated for this mission has wider applicability than just for pure science.
Now, say it does come off. We hope it will. What will it mean to science if we actually do detect these gravity waves going through space?
Well, I actually hate the word detect, because that sounds as though it's a one thing and then it's over. Genuinely, this is new astronomy, plus also, you know, tests of some of the remaining Einsteinian predictions about general relativity. It allows us to see right to the heart of some of the most extreme events that you could ever imagine in the universe, you know, the millions of solar mass black holes that we know that exist at the centers of galaxies, things that we couldn't realistically ever hope to see in through the electromagnetic observations. So gravity waves allow, if we can observe them, is really a tool for seeing to the heart of essentially the force that shapes the evolution of our universe.
Harry Ward from Glasgow University. You're listening to The Naked Scientists with me, Chris Smith, and with Connie Orbach.
Now, on to the main part of the show, how technology is changing the world of music. In 2014, for the first time, online audio streaming services made more money than sales of CDs, and this trend is continuing. But it's not just the distribution of music that is changing. how musicians make music is also evolving rapidly.